Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We worship God and we give glory to God that He is always good. And we have been studying about angelology for a few weeks now, and today we have part number 10. And our Bible text is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." Amen. Mm-hmm. Angels are spirits, and spirits cannot die. There are holy angels and there are fallen angels. The holy angels are serving God, and the fallen angels are awaiting their punishment. Humans are subject to physical death and to spiritual death. Christ came to save us from spiritual death. Angels do not die spiritually. They are either fallen or disobedient angels. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, which was the birth of the church. God has chosen a people unto Himself for this time, for this age. The called out ones make up the church, of which He is the living head. During the church age, believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and are subject to His direct leading, comforted by His abiding presence and strengthened with the Holy Spirit. Angels are the unseen messengers cooperating in the Holy Spirit's ministry. The most comforting revelation to the true believer concerning angels is the fact that their watchful care and particular ministry is to the redeemed. We have to be conscious of the avowed truth that multitudes of the heavenly host are enlisted to minister to the heirs of salvation. Peter spoke of the things that angels desire to look at in 1 Peter 1, 9-12. He was referring to the gospel of divine grace, the outworking of redemption. The church and the great grace bestowed upon it is to angels a revelation of the manifold wisdom of God, as it says in Ephesians 3:10. The Bible shows the truth that angels progressively grow and gain knowledge. The exhortation to Christian doctrine is charged not only to Christ's sake, but because of the angels, as it says in 1 Timothy 5:31. Jesus told us a story of Lazarus who stayed in the house of a rich man. They both died, and that is what is written in Luke chapter 16, verse 22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. What a difference their outgoing is. One is carried by the angels, the other one is buried. Angels are present when saints die. Angels carried the soul of Lazarus over into the other world. When someone dies for Christ, angels are present. When someone is martyred, angels are present. When Jesus was in the garden, an angel came to comfort him. The same is happening to saints who are about to go from here to there. They have angels ministering to them until the end. In Acts chapter 5, we read the record of the power and progress of the early church. Seeing the undeniable evidence of the apostles' ministry enraged the religionists, they seized them and put them in prison. Here we see the malice of Satan and the grace of God in conflict. The same opposition to truth must be expected by every Christian. Jesus had forewarned that this opposition will come. We just saw 2 years ago how many pastors went into prison because they kept the church open against Satan's plan to close the church. God sent his angel to release the faithful disciples from prison. Immediately, they renewed their witnessing and unto the authorities were forced to admit, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." We see angels at work during the early church, and yet there are people who deny and say angels' ministry is finished. It finished with the death of the apostles. But still angels are ministering today. Today in our age, praise God. Christ said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And Matthew 28:20, he says, "I am with you always to the end of the world." So during history, many have given their blood for people to be saved, fulfilling the Great Commission in spite of fierce opposition and persecution and even death. Yet Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord. Philip the evangelist was preaching the gospel in Samaria when an angel appeared to him and directed him to go to the desert. The angel gives no reason to Philip why he should go there. Just go. Though the angel are employed to angels are not employed to preach the gospel, yet they are often employed to bring direction to God's people. The angel directed Philip, but it was the Holy Spirit that witnessed and unfolded the gospel of truth when Philip reached the seeking soul, the man from Ethiopia. The believer who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, such angel directions may not be expected to guide us on our way. For all Christians, ministry is done under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are promised that he will guide, that he will comfort, that he will teach, that he will reprove, that he will convict, that he will reveal the deep things of God in and through our lives. It's not to us to seek angels' guidance and expect them to show us the way. Because many have laid their hands into their lives into the hands of angels, but they were fallen angels, and the people had big troubles afterwards. Angels are guided to lead us unto God, but we have also the Holy Spirit who is guiding us towards God. In Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways." And Hebrews 1:14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Neglect, indifference, and even denial of the ministry and guardianship of celestial beings may have impoverished the self-satisfied professing church these days of carnal security. An angel took part in the gospel, in sharing the gospel to the Gentiles. Cornelius, a devout man, but a Gentile, had received instructions which were brought by an angel. He told him to send for Peter. He may have never heard of Peter before, but the angel told him to call Peter. He told him exactly where he can find him. Cornelius was a stranger and a foreigner in Israel. He was a Gentile. And the law, God had forbidden Israelites to associate with Gentiles. Now Peter, now a Christian, was still obsessed with the national prejudice and believed that Jesus came only for the Israelites and not for the Gentiles. It was difficult for the first Jewish believers to understand that salvation was given for all men. Peter received a vision that showed him that all things are clean before God. Paul describes it in this way in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. "This ministry is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." Cornelius was a good man, but he knew nothing about the Holy Spirit's ministry. Therefore, God sent an angel to bring Peter and Cornelius together. This meeting was led by the Holy Spirit. It was the channel of the impact of the gospel of the Lord Jesus upon the whole world. Peter declared in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Cornelius became the first born and the first to be born again of the Gentiles to Christ. Now King Herod, he was afraid of the cause of Christ and arrested some of the church. It says in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword." We when displeased the Jews, he also arrested Peter, planning to execute him publicly after the feast. During the night, while he was sleeping between two guards, bound with two chains, an angel delivered him. A light shone into the cell, into the prison, and Peter's chains fell off. The angel said, "Put on your belt, your shoes, and follow me." They passed two detachments of four soldiers each, and the main door opened by itself. Our subject is the ministry of angels on behalf of the saints. After his wonderful deliverance, it says that Peter thought it was a vision. It is only after he was already on the street when he realized this is reality. God is still the God of deliverance. Praise the Lord. We never know how much angels have worked for our deliverance in different situations. Suddenly, something worked, and we don't see the angels who made it work. When Paul was shipwrecked with 275 people on board of the ship, they were in great danger. Paul stood before them and assured them in the name of his God that though the ship and the cargo would be lost, no life would be lost. We read in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 to 26. "Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I served stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God.'" I have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Paul was in the middle of the sea. They had no clue where they are, but the angel found him. Isn't that wonderful? The angel assured him that for his sake, all people on board would be spared. Great blessings happen to the people who are around us when we are present. Because when we are present, the Lord is present. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, we read, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God." We are either acknowledged before the angels or we are denied, disowned before the angels. The ministry of angels is associated with the history of redemption from the beginning. Whoever confesses Jesus Christ before men shall be owned by him before the angels of God. It's significant that the whole earth life of Jesus was seen by the angels. They were witnesses of his humble birth. They were witnesses and they saw his compassionate ministry, his suffering, his death, in order to save man. If someone confesses him here on earth, the holy angels will be joyful and appreciative witnesses of the Father's acceptance of those who confess. But those who deny the Son of God and his redemptive work shall be denied by him on that day of judgment. The holy angels will be perplexed and saddened that any could reject and deny such amazing grace. The angels will see the punishment of those who rejected him. Revelation 14:10, it says, he will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, it says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones. I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Jesus spoke literally of children, but also of those who are weak believers. They are called babes in Christ, or the lambs of his fold. When Peter was released from prison, he came to the upper room and they thought it was his angel. Angels are divinely appointed to watch and guard all the little ones who are innocent in danger. They watch over and minister to every believer, to every individual heir of salvation. Angels certainly have a deep interest in the heirs of salvation. From the very beginning of regeneration, the greatest transformation seen on earth is that by which a sinner is transformed into a saint. Repentance is indispensable to salvation and is the scene of rejoicing in heaven. It says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God who over one sinner who repents. Immediately, as ministering spirits, they assume their watchful concern, gladly serving their Lord by ministering unto those that were bought by his own blood. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the age of grace, ends with the translation, with the rapture of the church to meet the descending Lord. A scene of angelic activity changes from earth to heaven, because no longer will the raptured saints need the watchful guardianship of angels. My friend, late Pastor Mehmet, had a church in Bazetik in Bulgaria. They were in the Roma area. All neighbors were Muslims. One day somebody complained that the church had singing practice in the middle of the night. They complained that you can have your singing practice during the day and not at night. Why do you do that? Now there was nobody in the church. After several complaints, this pastor's son decided to investigate, and he stayed in the church during the night. And sure enough, the angels started singing beautifully. And one angel came to him and said, it says in the Bible that we should worship and sing unto the Lord. We have come to do exactly this. Another story. A mob attacked my friend Suresh in Sri Lanka. All the Bible students and the teachers, they hid in the fields because there was a big mob coming with cups and knives. As this mob came to the border of their country, they stopped. The church people didn't know why they stopped. Suddenly they stopped and they didn't know why. It was a few days later that one of that mob explained, "We came to destroy your church and your Bible college and your instruments and everything. But when we stepped at the border of your land, we saw the policemen in your Bible college, in your church. They had walkie-talkies and they pointed the guns at us and warned us that if we continue to walk, they will shoot at us. We thought that the police had taken side with the church. It was angel protection because there was nobody, no human being in a building. In both churches, I have ministered, I confirm the truth." There are many similar stories of angels protecting the saints. Many missionaries have experienced supernatural protection through angels. Angels are not gods, they are ministering spirits. They are fellow servants with us. But since they are spirits, they know what is going on in the spiritual world. They can see what we cannot see. They are sent by God on special missions. They are guiding us, they are protecting us, they are helping us. They rejoice over our well-being. They rejoice when we are faithful to God. As evil spirits are all around us, trying to lead us into sin, in the same way, angels are all around us, protecting us from the evil one. We thank God that He has created angels. Long in the past, long before the worlds were formed, He had created them. We thank God and the Holy Spirit for protecting us from spiritual unseen dangers. Blessed be God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.